Green Divas and Green Dudes come in many shades of green. Here to help you discover and celebrate your personal shade of green are hosts Green Diva Meg and Maxine Margot, veteran radio chicks who share important news about climate change and the plight of human existence, but somehow manage to make most of it fun and sexy using at least 50 shades of green. Welcome to the 50 Shades of Green Divas. Yay!
Woohoo!
I'm Green Diva Meg.
And I'm Green Diva Max. Max and Meg. Meg and Max. Woohoo! I love it.
Yeah, I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and there's like a whole new, there's a whole new environment now. And I don't mean environment. I mean, there's a whole new vibe in the business community rippling out because we have a new president. I know some agree with him or admire him for whatever
reason.
Ridiculous reason.
I don't know what that reason might be, but
my editorial.
Hey, I guess, you know.
But there are more that are not. And some are really taking a stand. And I am really impressed with our guest today, who you'll hear from in a little bit, George Polisner.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, tell me how you brought George here.
Yeah, George, he had a company started with social responsible investing. He's very socially conscious, and he wants people to be responsible within that context. He started a company called Alinovo, and he works, and his mindset is to get people to do the right thing.
And but he's an executive. He
was
a big executive with Oracle.
Big executive at Oracle and has, again, a moral compass. And that compass kind of went wacky because the co-CEO basically said that we would do what we can to work with the new administration. And she was still in the capacity as the CEO of Oracle, and a lot of people at Oracle didn't feel that the we should have been used in that context, one being George Polisner. And at that point, he sent in his resignation, and it got posted on LinkedIn, and then it went viral.
Yeah.
And he's been speaking to people in different countries, and he, you know, he put his foot down, you know, the movie Network. I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Yeah.
And he just said, I'm mad as hell and I'm out.
Well, and you even found an article. He's, you know, they're not the only ones.
Right.
Or something. Or what was
not
it?
The only
not
one.
Not the only one.
An employee at IBM felt the same way and left. I don't have that person's name particularly at this point, but it seems in the tech industry and in other industries, people are conflicted about how they can work in companies that might produce things that they don't feel are morally correct or helping the environment, maybe hurting it. Mm-hmm. And so they're taking a stand, and it's not something, you know, that they take lightly because they're leaving a position that, you know, in George's case was pretty, you know, high up there. And
he had a lengthy and, you know, probably lucrative career.
Right. Very lengthy, very lucrative. And he basically said, I'm out. But again, he's not the only one. It seems that more and more people are doing this. And it's kind of a night. It is very nice to see people stand up.
It almost begs, like, I want to ask, you know, people and certain positions, you know, I have friends that work in the defense industry, and actually they're really cool people, which, you know, they're very, very smart, like PhD smart, you know, really make me feel stupid. But they're brilliant, kind people. And I want to say, like, what are you going to do if you're asked to do? I mean, because my one friend has, like, really super high security clearance and works in cyber defense and all that stuff. I'm like, what are you going to do if you're asked to start
World War III?
You know, I mean,
or knowing this
what
guy,
do you do?
He has the codes. He has the nuclear codes.
It's terrifying.
He has the nuclear codes.
This is terrifying.
I don't know what to say.
Well, it goes from one terrifying terrifying thought to the next, right? And when I get calm, and then I remember, oh my God, all those Supreme Court positions, right? And then I get like the chills and start getting freaked out, and then I calm down. Yeah. And then I remember he's got the nuclear codes, and I'm thinking, oh my God.
Yeah. He's got the nuclear codes. I can't imagine the person at the other end of any possible call. I just don't know how this all happened, but it has happened. And people are saying, well, we have to get through this. And George is one, and the person at IBM, and it's more and more and more coming to that, because we need to use, you know, George is using that, his intelligence and his, you know, his position and what he has done to start something new that will hopefully be a platform to help us get through this and help people get through this should they want to, you know, take action, which we encourage, obviously.
What is sort of part of the resistance, you know what I mean? It's part of saying, no, I will not participate in this insanity. And it's probably very terrifying for people who have to make big change in order to stand by that. And I'm going to really applaud all those people, including George, who are taking their stand at great risk personally in some cases, you know, whether it's their career or, I don't know, physically, I don't know. But I think people are taking risks, and people are saying, no, no, I will not participate in that.
Correct. I mean, if it was, if we were getting, you know, something positive out of this particular new administration, I haven't seen it yet. I guess we need to give them some time. But just from the pics that, you know, I was reading an article in USA Today, and the author of the article said, you know, he could have picked the best and the brightest, but what he did was he picked the cream of the crap.
Yeah, and the cream of the crap. That's pretty good.
You know, and I, and it just stuck with me all day. And after that, because here you are hoping that maybe something will switch on that'll say, we, you know, all these people protesting, they're part of this too. It's not just, you know, obviously, as much as you can say things about Hillary, she won almost 3 million more people in the popular vote.
Yeah, how does that? Now, see, there's something that, well, that's a whole other topic.
Right,
and a
but
whole
they
other
don't
show,
look
but
at it, and they don't think of it. And they, yeah, they, he was claiming he won the popular vote. I mean, how do you do that?
Yeah, are you really populist? You know, I don't know about that.
Are you really popular? But yeah, I guess popular, with certain people you are, but others, not so much. So, again, the division is here, and we don't want our democracy to erode to a place where it's going to take so much to get it back. When we now, if we resist and we try to find solutions through...
Well, and that's the best way, right, yeah, is instead of, you know, disintegrating into negativity and doom and gloom, which is potentially always there, get active and find solutions, find ways to be a positive contributor to.
There's a song, you know, you gotta accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative. You know, that's what, you know, look out for Mr. In Between. You know, who's Mr. In Between? I don't know. But I guess, you know, people are telling me, because I was like losing it yesterday. and my poor hubby, he was like, I don't want to watch anything, and stop saying things like that. And I'm like, well, I guess we have to find some zen in something. So we'll see where this all goes. But, you know, those of us who feel that this is not the way this country should be going must do something.
Well, so we have a great interview. Listen to our conversation with George Polisner and learn about what he is doing and how you can get involved as well.
This is James Cromwell, and you've been fortunate enough to be listening to 50 Shades of Green Divas, a wonderful program you should support. Thank you.
Our guest this week on 50 Shades of Green Divas is George Polisner, who recently submitted his resignation from Oracle as a protest for the CEO Safra Catz's decision to join the Trump transition team. George is also the founder of Civ.Works, a project of Civic Works, which is a nonprofit platform to promote civil engagement. He's the founder of Elenovo.com, which is an information service to consumers with regard to environmental, social responsibility, labor practices, as they relate to purchase transaction. He hosts a community radio show called Furious George on WYAQ in Oregon. Or Oregon, you'll have to tell me how to pronounce that correctly. His experience is extensive in tech and social justice fields. And so without further ado, here's George Polisner. How you doing, George?
Good, and thanks for having me on the show. I promise not to resign in the middle.
Good, that's good. But
I like the title of your show, Furious George. Are you still doing that show?
You know, I am, and I'm having a good time with it, and there's plenty more to be furious about, so I think the material for all of us is going to be quite stocked quite full for the next few years.
Yeah, I'm only hoping that the Freedom of Information Act ACLU group is going to try to push things a little. And also, I heard Anonymous is going to try to do something, but I don't know where they were. They were anonymous this whole time, so yes. It's like, what are they doing? And you know, when we needed you, where were you? You know.
So I have a question right out of the chute. Can you tell us in our audience what you did with Oracle, like what your position there was and what your job was all about?
You know, it would probably require a couple of shows.
Okay, all right.
The career spanned many years, and I started out very, very technical in database performance work and working with very large databases, and then did business development work and built a consulting practice for them. And then when I famously left, I was doing cloud work for them, and so mm-hmm. not as a weatherman or a meteorologist.
Got it.
I was working with a lot of their very large, complicated customers that were transitioning or trying to transition to cloud.
Right.
Gotcha. So, all right. So you famously left. Was it a pretty public ordeal then?
It was. It was pretty public because I knew about it. So I'm public.
You know,
it wasn't too much of an ordeal because I was in my home office typing feverishly the note. But really, you know, I I've had a lot of good opportunity to reflect and discuss with a number of people. And, you know, it certainly wasn't a knee-jerk reaction to a situation. I thought that what a active co-CEO, so she, Safra Katz is the Oracle co-CEO with Mark Hurd, and when she accepted a position with the transition team but did not take a leave from Oracle or did not separate from Oracle service in any way, I mean, I thought that was a conflict.
Yeah.
And then when she issued the statement that I plan to tell the president-elect that we are here with him and are here to help him in any way we can, that we did not include me.
Yeah, there you go.
That would certainly do it. There's so much happening. I mean, we're doing the show, and there's, you know, inauguration has already occurred, so he is our 45th president. And there's going to be a lot of stuff happening, I think, in terms of, you know, people are riled up, and I am. I know Meg isn't. I know you are because you publicly said, I'm not taking this anymore. I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to, you know, sit by and watch this happen.
Well, the resistance has begun already, you know, exemplified by millions of people marching the day after the inauguration.
Right.
All over the world.
So as an, you know, you at Oracle, and you weren't the only one in the tech world. There were people at IBM that felt this way. Another person left there. And this is like for you and this other person at IBM to take this action, you know, clearly showed to me leadership in stating that you felt this way and you put your, you know, sort of, I guess, money where your mouth is at this point, and you walked the walk, and you mm-hmm. talked the talk, you did everything. But what can the average person do? And what have you been working on that might be able to get citizens involved in trying to be make solutions and resist simultaneously?
You know, it's a hard question, and I have great respect for everybody that's been out marching today. I know even here in our fairly remote coastal community in Lincoln County, Oregon, we've had a tremendous turnout at Newport City Hall and a march that included organizations like the coastal chapter of the National Organization for Women and others. We had some of our state legislators there at the rally speaking. And so, you know, it's great to show, you know, to be marching, to show, and certainly as a form of civic engagement, you know, marching to underscore the significance of women's rights and LGBTQ rights and, you know, all of the progressive gains that we've made over many years. I have a lot of respect and admiration for the people that were out there, especially here braving the weather, and I'm sure the weather was not so great in a lot of other places as well. But what we're working on, and part of my observation was, I know that during the Bush-Cheney years, and just saying that, I get breakout in hives. But during
I've already broken out in hives.
although, my apologies.
Although I have to admit that it doesn't really faze me now. It's not as much now. I mean, it pales in comparison almost to what's happening today. But I'll just digress.
I'm sorry. Yeah, go. Yes, go ahead. Bush-Cheney years.
Well, I think that what we'll see is we know that we'll be assailed on all societal fronts. So everything from climate action to women's rights to public education, climate change. We're going to be assailed on every front. And what that typically does is that means instead of getting a single petition or a handful of petitions, we're going to see an explosion of petitions from every organization that's working, you know, somewhat siloed on a lot of these issues. And part of what I'm trying to do with a group of volunteers and through some crowdfunding is to put together a platform for really civic change, civic engagement, driving coordinated political and economic activism to drive the changes that we need so we can go beyond petitions.
Right.
That's what we're at work on. And we're going to be launching the very first part of the platform next month.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is, if you can imagine, you know, if you were using social media, if you were on Facebook, and for example, you might be in Oklahoma. Now, I know you're not in Oklahoma, but you might be in Oklahoma saying, "Did you feel that? The house just shook again. Mm-hmm. I'm so tired of these earthquakes." Well, the word earthquake would basically provide a mechanism to say, you know, are you tired of fracking?
Mm-hmm.
Earthquake and the relationship between earthquake and fracking. And we would be giving people concrete actions that they could take, either locally or with their state government,
right,
or federally, that could essentially drive change. And whereas one individual action is important, if we're coordinating this activity by community, if we get a couple of hundred people coming out in some small town, or several thousand people coming out in mid-sized places that are tangibly working on an issue and being active on an issue to the extent that they can, that I think can essentially have some significant impact in terms of driving change.
So what you're doing is making it easier for people who don't necessarily know how to research or don't have the time or the energy to research their representatives properly. Who do I call? How do I get to them? What's the proper email? Who do I talk to? You're trying to facilitate an easy platform for people to, you know, hit a couple of buttons and say go.
That is correct. We want to make tangible action as easy or as almost easy as signing a petition. And mm-hmm. so, just in the example that I used, you know, imagine if you're living in County X and you type in the same thing, and it says, you know, hey, County Y just passed an initiative banning fracking. Do you want to see the bill that they passed? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That would allow you to see the legislation. You can then get people within your community to support that bill and then take it to your county commission or your city council and essentially have draft-ready legislation ready for the appropriate jurisdiction. And it sounds far more complicated. We're trying to abstract as much of the complexity and make it as easy as possible for people. But the idea, at least from a political activism point, is, you know, think about a smart aleck or the people's aleck, putting legislation into the hands of people allowing people to drive and be empowered and not be disenfranchised from the process of governing.
It's the local level that's going to get us through these next few years, because I don't see any way, at least in my eyes or my brain right now, that on the federal level we're going to be able to take a crack at things.
I vow not to give up, not to let up on my representatives, you know, senators. I mean, I'm going to be hounding them.
Yes, I am. I call Schumer twice a week and Gillibrand twice a week. And
wait, at least those guys are on our side, mostly. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, one can hope. But one believes they are, and I think they are. Yeah. It's just, I think it's really uphill. But going on the state level and on the local level, I think is where we can have more access, is what you're doing, right, George? That seems to be what this platform's going to be.
Yep, it's really going to be for guided action and to really help make these connections for people. And it will include a form of economic activism, too, borrowing from the work that I did previously on Alo Novo. And so instead of boycotts, for example, instead of buying Georgia-Pacific paper, which is, of course, owned by the Coke industries, seventh generation, or here's...
Alternatives, good,
Exactly. And so easy mechanisms that people can take to make a difference that are small actions at an individual level that become scaled and massive actions when we bring them all together.
Yeah, it's the way it works, man.
So the platform, is this just a web-based, or is it going to be a mobile app as well? I mean, how are you, and what exactly is the name of it, so when the people know in a month we can, you know, look it up?
They can actually go now and find out a little bit more about it. And the site is called civ.works, W-O-R-K-S. And it is mobile-enabled, and so you can get it on your phone. It's not an app. It's just basically a web platform, but you can get it on your phone or on a website.
Wow, that's pretty cool. But it'd be good if it could also be an app one day, right?
Who better to do this than what a great use of your experience and talent, you know? Yay!
Yeah, it's definitely something that is needed right now, even more than ever. So,
well, it's something. It's interesting because it's something that I'd mentioned in I think in surrounding the resignation letter when I posted it on LinkedIn. I think I'd made some mention. Or it might have actually been in the Guardian article, but I was talking about wanting to devote my time to creating a platform that would help drive societal unity toward making important civic changes.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert Reich picked up on that, which was wonderful.
Yes, well, that's good.
And so that was really having a small exchange with him was remarkable. But, you know, what I want to do is create something where, you know, it's not George telling everybody what to do. It's mm-hmm. a mechanism where here are the things that are happening near you, and here's how you can engage in the issues that you care about the most.
That's important.
So, yep.
Yeah, I could have used that when we have we're the first town in Westchester County and most of New York, I think, we have a plastic bag ban in our community.
Cool.
And it was very helpful to have another town, you know, because we're not, so I guess I just blew that one. But they don't have a complete ban. I think you have to pay, there's a fee to pay for the bag. So, but we use their Rye, the town of Rye, we use them as, you know, what did they do? How did
sure.
they do it?
Right.
And when you know that other communities are doing it, then you can just say, hey, we're working on this. Can we look at some of the stuff you've done?
Yeah.
And it cuts out so much time and many steps. So.
Well, it's brilliant for, like, you know, our town government. It's small here in Boonton, New Jersey. But, you know, if they have a blueprint and a template that they can follow from other communities, it makes life a lot easier for our small.
No question. We shouldn't have to rely on Monsanto for all of our legislation.
Well, nor should we at all. Yeah.
Nor Russia. I might start, you know, speaking, you know, Russian. Maybe they should start giving it in school as another language.
No,
you know.
No. Russia is where we get our intelligence briefings. Monsanto is where we get our legislation.
Right. Right. Okay. So now we've narrowed it down to where we're all getting this from.
There's a division of labor there. Yeah.
Right. Right. Something like that.
Oh my God.
That's pretty crazy stuff. I mean, it is nutsy.
So people can go to civ.works.
Yes.
To find out more.
They can go to civ.works to find out more right now. And in the meantime, we're actively working with a small software engineering company here in Portland, Oregon, and they're actively doing the very first release of the platform, which isn't going to have everything that we want. We're going to be, building as we go, as we gain hopefully some mass and momentum and people using the platform. That will help us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all. But there is a site up right now that describes, you know, what we're doing and why. And there's a great team of folks working at an entity down by University of California at Irvine called Column 5 Media
mm-hmm.
that have really been they've dedicated their time and effort pro bono to what we're doing and
that's
are
good.
Just remarkable people that are trying to – that see the potential of this platform and want to see it fly.
Well, everybody listening, please, if you want to know how you can take action – stay tuned in to their evolution and their releases. So go to civ.works, check out what's coming. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be downloading as soon as there's something to download.
Me too. And we're going to put it on our website and get it out from this end of New York if we can. And we're New Jersey, New York and New Jersey, the tri-state area, which I believe have a lot of people who would have interest. In this,
we definitely want to be tried in the tri-state area.
Yes. Okay. Well, as long as there's someone else tried, not us.
Tried and true.
I'm looking for tried on various counts in the D.C. court. That's what I'm looking at. You know, I posted something on Facebook when I basically said that, you know, yesterday, the day that the orange man, you know, he turns into the lemon that he really is, and
we're gonna
squeeze him out, and we're gonna do what we need to do. So, that's my new.
God, there's like a million bad visuals with that. Just saying.
I know. It's pretty crazy stuff. But,
George, thank you so much for doing what you're doing. Taking the leap and following your heart and your passion and, you know, being a leader for a lot of us who need to take our experience and bring it to what needs to happen.
Right. And your
I'm very grateful to you both for having me on the show, and it's really been a remarkable outpouring from all over the world. I was in a Skype session with a professor in France yesterday morning that was
nice.
Just remarkable. And so I'm very, very grateful to you and everyone that's being supportive of our effort.
And if people want to, do you have a website yourself, or it's just civ.works, or is there any other way to contact you if they wanted to?
Yeah, the best way is probably through the website
okay.
for now.
That's the way we'll do it.
Thank you, George.
Work. All right, George, thank you so much, and keep being furious.
I will.
All
thank
right.
you both.
Take care.
You've been listening to the 50 Shades of Green, a collaborative gig between the Green Divas and the Many Shades of Green radio shows, happily recorded at Green Diva Studio. Be sure to look for this and other Green Diva Network podcasts and the Many Shades of Green on iHeartRadio, iTunes, SoundCloud, Spreaker, and Stitcher, among other places. You can find more information about this show and much more on thegreendivas.com.